Moving into the barriers, Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Set and underway for Moody on the mic.
Here we are again on Moody on the mic. The final Group 1 of the racing season is on this Saturday, and we are back with a look at all things Eagle Farm and some best bets too. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me as they always do, Peter Moody, Anthony Mithen, and the resident Rain Man, Tom Haggett. Let's start with you, Moods. How are you travelling?
Oh, great to be back, Rog. I think we all had a bit of a blowout last weekend. Well, I certainly did. Ipswich Cup meeting didn't do anything for me. But we saw that Boom Galloper incentivise win by 9 lengths again.
We'll get to that, Moods. We'll just welcome in the others because we do want to touch on incentivise a little bit in depth with its future trainer. Mytho, welcome to you. Big day for you this Saturday. Brooklyn Hustle, hopefully she can finally get a Group 1. We'll get to that too.
Yeah, we will. I was a bit stiff last week while Peter's talking about the punt saying it was a wipeout. I was incentivised into Paladas as the all-up best bet of the day, and Paladas just got nosed out in that dirty, rotten photo. But, you know, if your auntie had balls, you know she'd be your uncle. So no point complaining about things. You get on, and we'll be finding plenty of winners back at the farm this weekend.
I got Dice Roll home as my best bet. Thankfully, I jumped on Wednesday when it was 4:40 and didn't cop the even money that he jumped on Saturday. Rayman, how did you go? I didn't take a great deal of notice. You generally go okay.
Yeah, tip plenty of winners, Rog. Good to bounce back at Ipswich. Stockman in that race in Sydney that I insisted we cover because I had the winner and I had done. And then the best bet at Ipswich Lillimore in the last for Johnny O'Shea got the chocolate. So, no, good day for me as well. So I don't know what Moose is talking about, really. His Boom Galloper won. He got plenty of prize money, and the rest of us tipped a bunch of winners.
Well, you know, my back's been getting terribly sore for the last 3 months, carrying you all. So it's about time I had a blowout and all you fellas sort of stepped up to the plate and had a little bit of a dip, I'd reckon.
We went as well as Steph Thornton and Ben Thompson, the glamour couple of Queensland racing that you're going gangbusters up there. But as you mentioned, incentivised just romped into another 9.7 length victory. And he is going around again this weekend in essentially a Queensland finale.
Apparently, he's going to go around in every egg and spoon race. Stephen Tregay said, stuff this. It's going down to Moody. I'm going to run it every Saturday until Moody tells me to stop. It's hilarious. He's just going to start at $1.30, $1.40, $1.50, wherever he goes around. Pete, you've got to take the reins here. This is not your style, backing horses up like this.
Well, I'm happy to be guided by senior part owner and trainer in Steve Tregay. And the important thing about this, the thought after he won at Ipswich was this horse would wait for the Cloundra Cup. But we didn't overlook it, but we just thought the Tats Cup, you know, it might have come a bit stronger. But to be quite honest, the Tats Cup at Group 3 with a couple of Group 1 performed horses in it gives this horse a greater opportunity to enhance his rating to enable him to get into some of the big handicaps, whether it's this spring or even thereafter. And it also gets the horse through the main balloting clauses for the Caulfield and Melbourne Cups. If we live the dream and the horse is perhaps still alive at that stage, being a mile and a half handicap of $200,000, it has him fully qualified. It doesn't guarantee him a start, but it has him fully qualified. And it continues to fly the flag for your stallion in Seamus Award, Mytho. So I thought you'd be the bloke there cheering Steve Tregay.
No, I was very pleased to see that we get another chance to get a group winner for Seamus Award before the season comes to a close. So, Pete, you're playing your part there. I love your work and good luck to the team. $1.40, I reckon, Rain Man, in the market, incentivised?
$1.40, come up very short favourite.
It's a big jump from a benchmark 78 on Ipswich Cup Day to a Group 3 against Group 1 runners. Winners.
As his future trainer, what would your advice be if he was to come out and win the Tats Cup in dominant fashion? Get him down to me ASAP?
Well, what we'll do is I intend on being up in Queensland in the next few days. I'm going to spend a day or two with Steve Tregay, get to learn as much as I can about this horse. The horse will have an ease up post-Saturday. But with a view, if we are looking to the Melbourne Spring Carnival, he's not going to be spelling, but he will have an ease up. He'll do that in the care of Steve Tregay up there in Queensland on the Darling Downs. And, you know, we'll set a bit of a timeline and a time frame to have him down here in Victoria for the spring carnival. You know, bearing in mind he's been at work a good while, but Steve believes that he's continued to thrive throughout. So I really want to learn as much as I can about this horse, because I'm not going to try and reinvent the wheel here. My biggest challenge is going to be able to try and keep him going as well as he is at this point in time. So, you know, looking forward to that, and looking forward to seeing the horse, touching the horse, and spending some time with his owner and trainer, Steve Triot.
I'm glad you are going with this learning experience, Moods, because, you know, peek behind the curtain for the listeners. There's a group text between the four of us, and we were lauding Incentivizer's effort the weekend, and your response was, only I can fuck it up now. So I'm glad you're going up there to learn.
No, well, that's pretty much right, Rog. Like I say, we don't want to be trying to reinvent the wheel. He's absolutely low-flying, this horse. He's got to step up a lot of cogs, but... you know, I just want to try and pick Steve's brain and learn as much as I can. He's a very accomplished horseman. He's had this horse since the day he was born. He bred him. So I'm going to try and take as much as I can from Steve before the horse moves south to me.
Good Friday racing in Victoria is the other thing that's been making headlines in the last 24 hours or so. It's gone through Parliament that, you know, they're taking out the prohibition on Good Friday racing. I no doubt the folk at Ladbrokes will be lauding this decision, Ray, man. Another day to punt.
Absolutely, Rog. Good Friday used to be one of my least favourite days of the year. There never used to be any footy. There never used to be any racing, and nothing was open. So you just sat around drinking, which is fine, but I like to sit around with the races on. So when Western Australia introduced their Good Friday racing, it really turned my opinion around on the entire state. Tasmania have followed suit in recent years, which has me even more excited. Now we're going to get a feature meeting in Victoria. So it makes perfect sense to me. It's a day off. It's a chance for more eyeballs to be put onto the sport. And I think it makes all the sense in the world. I've always thought it'd be a really good Friday night meeting at the Valley. A little bit of Ladbrokes bias talking there. But I think that would be an outstanding. Maybe you have a meeting at Sal, roll into Friday night lads at the Valley. Be perfect.
You heard it first here, ladies and gentlemen. Rayman doesn't want you donating to the Good Friday appeal. He wants you putting that money in your Ladbrokes account instead.
We don't really do the Good Friday appeal here in Victoria, in Queensland. I've never really understood it personally.
Yeah, well, listen, we have 2 days a year off, Good Friday and Christmas Day, so one of them's gone. God help Christmas Day, because it's only going to be a matter of time until someone wants to do that. I think it's one of those weekends where a lot of people get out into the country areas. Easter Monday's always been a big race day around the country. You go back to carnivals like Oakbank, where it's waned a lot because people tend to head off on the Monday. It used to be massive Saturday, Monday at Oakbank. So maybe the Friday will work, but I think leave it to the country areas. I know Rain Man would love to see it at Moonee Valley because it's a Ladbroke-sponsored track, and as we are, Ladbroke-sponsored too. But I think a lot of people get off to the country areas, have that weekend. If we need to have it, let's have it in the country and where people can travel and take some joy to the bush maybe.
Duca seems like the perfect place for it. There's a stack of people who go to the Murray on that Easter weekend. I think at Duca would be cherry ripe for a good Friday, mate.
A few of the industry participants are split on this, and it's good to hear, Pete, you put your weight behind the idea, because I think we've got to acknowledge that there's lots of industries that run 365 days a year, and racing is one of them. And so for the naysayers to say, oh, there's too much racing, give us a day off, don't participate. You don't have to nominate your horses for Good Friday just because there's a race meeting on. There's 364 other days you can go racing. So you don't have to participate. You still got to get up and feed your horses every day. It's not like it's a major, you know, onerous task put on participants to go and put on a race day on Good Friday. So I'm glad to see that the government have passed this and given us the option to have a race meeting and give something, you know, a bit of a carnival feel up at Echuca or Swan Hill or wherever the case may be.
The rail at Caulfield's going to be at 12 metres on Saturday, which seems like it's going to, cost a fair few horses a run with the field sizes limited, but also fair on-speed bias, I would have thought. Rail at 12 for a feature Saturday, mate, seems extraordinary.
Well, listen, once upon a time, you'd say the bloke coming down the outside and grab a pie out of the punter's hand at the furlong post, but Racing Victoria having no punters on track this weekend. There's 25,000 going to the G, there's 15,000 going to the soccer grand final. but no bastards allowed to go to the races. So I'm not quite sure why. Rail out at Caulfield, funny enough, you would naturally assume on pace, massive advantage. But a bit of cut in the ground. Don't be surprised if they're sitting back and swooping, which I have seen there on more than one occasion when the rail is in this placement. They're obviously protecting the inside section for the Caulfield Cup that's coming up in 4 months' time.
I am here to show you all how to Ladbroke it.
Kachingos! We've Ladbroke the Ladbrokes app and made it faster than ever before. Never miss a minute of the action with the new and improved Ladbrokes app. Download it today.
But let's not stop there. Let's Ladbroke the world!
Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
All right, we're going to look at a few races at Eagle Farm on Saturday, including the Group 1 Tats Tiara, but we're going to kick it off first with the Tats Crown, Rayman. What's the market look like for this one?
Got a clear favourite here, Rog, in the form of Polly Gray. It's a $2.70 favourite. Zaydani on the second line of betting at $5, walking, flying, $5.50. The early market mover has been La Grisha for Johnny O'Shea. It's been $6.50 to $5.50. But interesting race, this one. Polly Gray, definitely the class horse in this field. But we did touch on it last time that it doesn't have great good track form at all. It's currently a good four at Eagle Farm. I don't think, I mean, a little bit of rain around in Brisbane, but I don't think that track's going to get any softer. And Polly Gray is nine starts on a good track for two third place finishes, and that's it. And we saw it not really perform at its best in the Sapphire Stakes last start. So I think there's got to be a genuine question mark here over how this horse will handle that Eagle Farm surface. I think La Grisha is the market mover, probably is the horse to beat here. Last start didn't have a huge amount of luck in running, but I think it will take good improvement from that run. It's third up here today on Saturday. I think it will be ready to peak at peak fitness here. Barrier one, James McDonald in the saddle, does seem to suit. So I think Polly Gray is probably a good risk at the price. I'd be laying it, even though it is the best horse in the field, and happy to be with the six.
Just while you mentioned jockeys there, eh, man, have we got an update on those Sydney jocks and who's allowed in, who's got into Queensland, who's running the gauntlet, who's not going to be there? Do we know the answers to those questions?
Very good point, Mitho. I still think it's up in the air. I think last I heard, Racing Queensland was speaking to the Queensland government to see if some sort of exemption could be made. So I think probably by the time people listen to this, they may be an answer to those questions, but at this stage, not 100% sure.
You'd have to think extremely doubtful because Randwick is one of the hotspots out of Sydney.
Yeah.
And a lot of these blokes ride work at Randwick and live in that eastern suburbs vicinity of Sydney. So I would think Queensland government and Queensland racing, and I'm certainly not begrudging the boys getting up there for this good meeting, would dead set be playing with fire. We've just seen one person out of Sydney go to Wellington and create a hotspot in New Zealand and fly back. I don't think the Queensland government would take the punt, to be quite honest, which will be disappointing for these boys with the last Group 1 meeting, but the local boys will be there queuing up to take the rides.
Obviously, Victorian jockeys are allowed into Queensland now, but they've all been booked for rides at Caulfield on Saturday, so that throws that up there, you know, and as we know, that probably cost Brooklyn Hustle with having Jamie Carr on her back. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. We might see some ordinary jockeys go around on the back of some decent horses on Saturday. Look, I'm going to go with Polly Gray only because I'm hoping that the last start was more that sharp drop back to 1600 than the Eagle Farm track. But there's every chance it was, as you mentioned, Rayman, the Eagle Farm surface. But look, she is certainly the class horse in the race and gets in, pretty well at the weights considering how much of a better rating she does have in comparison to the rest of the field. So, yeah, I'll side with Polly Gray without a huge amount of confidence except in more the trainer and Chris Wallach.
I'm going against one of my sort of great things here is Polly Gray is a weight and rating certainty. She's rated that far above her opposition and weighted that well to be winning this race. But certainly the concern is what Rayman put in front of us. Her dry track form has been, to be quite honest, abysmal. All her form is on ground with giving it, and we know even when it's rained at Eagle Farm, it's still producing a firm surface. I give Zaidani a chance. Ben and JD Hayes looking for their first stakes winner together as a training combination. Ran a good third in the Centuria Stakes at Morpheville a couple of runs back. Has since had a soft kill at the Gold Coast without a lot of confidence. Zaidani for me. But, yeah, bet with caution.
Yeah, just while we're having that discussion, I've texted Tommy Berry just to check his status, and he just texted about 4 seconds ago saying that he sure is getting there. He's on his way now, so that's Wednesday evening. Maybe some jockeys have made the preemptive strike to get in there and get beat any sort of border restrictions or hotspot restrictions if they spread. So I'd say a couple of them are probably taking matters into their own hands and going to have a couple of days on the beach on the way to Eagle Farm on Saturday. So for that reason, and I was sort of wanting to make sure that I didn't muck this up. He's on Polly Gray. I'm going to be the only one that sticks with Tommy Berry and Polly Gray to win.
I did too, but...
Oh, sorry. I was busy texting Tommy Berry. I wasn't listening to you. I'll stick with you, Rog, and go with Polly Gray for all the reasons you made.
Thank you.
That okay. I wasn't listening to.
That's all right. It didn't make much sense. The Group 1 Tats Tiara is, as mentioned at the top of the show, the final Group 1 of the racing calendar for this season. It's a farewell race for Liar, but I don't think she could possibly win, Rayman, and I'd imagine the market reflects that.
Yeah, Liar, $41, Roger. You'd love to own Liar for the prize money that she's accumulated. And obviously a Blue Diamond Stakes winner, so you can't knock the horse. But she has gone very close to that winning since that run. But I've always liked Liar. I think she's a great horse. She hasn't had a huge amount of luck. But this is a really good race, the Tats Tiara this year. Really competitive affair. Tefane is the favourite, the Strawberry Candy Cup winner at $5.50. Got 1,000 Guineas winner Odium there at $7. Group 1 winner, Sepianos there at $8.50. Subpoenaed, $9. Brooklyn Hustle, $11. And it's interesting, all the horses in the market outside of Subpoenaed, who's drawn barrier 2, they've all drawn double-figure barriers. So it is going to be a fairly interesting tactical race as well. And it could very well come down to, with this even group of mares, the best ride wins the race. But I think the market's probably got it pretty much spot on. I think maybe the little bit of value does lie with Savatiano there at $8.50. We know she's a very high-class mare on her day. Was a Group 1 winner of the Canterbury Stakes earlier this preparation. She wasn't beaten far in the all-age stakes. And in the Kingsford Smith Cup, things didn't really go to plan there. She had that minor issue in the lead-up to the race. So I'm sort of happy to put the pen through that run. If you look at all her previous form, it's more than good enough to win this race back to Fillies and Mares companies for the first time this preparation. So we'll need a little bit of luck in running from barrier 16, which is in the saddle, but she's a tactically versatile horse who can sort of make her own luck on the speed if needed. So I'm going to stick with Savatiano here. I just think her best form is good enough to win this. I think Brooklyn Hustle now at $11 was $8 earlier today at one point, got now out to $11. I still just think that on her day, if things go to plan, as they did in the Dane Ripper, she has got a Group 1. She's good enough to win a Group 1 and she'll be storming home late. So probably need to have Brooklyn Hustle on my side there at the double figures, but Savatiano on top for me.
With all due respect to Michael Kale, and when you say that, you're giving him a little bit of a pot. That's probably the reason for the drift, is that it's not a brand name jockey on Brooklyn Hustle, because her form is exemplary. And I've got her as one of the two I like in this race. I also like Nudge. They're both mares in some serious form. But if Michael Kale can ride Brooklyn Hustle from out in 12 the same way that Jamie and also Craig Williams did, I think she can go Group 3 win, Group 2 win, Group 1 win. But yeah, Nudge is also super consistent and was a really good winner in the Sapphire last start. So I'm with those two, both at $11 and I think $14 respectively. Mitho, why can she win?
Well, she can win for all the reasons that you say, that she's probably now, funnily enough, a bit of an easy ride. Don't get tricky on her. Just let her do Brooklyn Hustle things, and that is drop out, get a bit of cover, just balance her up around the corner and then go for her. And, you know, Craig Williams worked that out brilliantly, better than everyone. And studied tapes, did all his homework, and we're the beneficiary of that. And Michael Kale might be the beneficiary of that ultimately, and ride a new Group 1 winner for him. So he rode the Bostonian in 2019 to multiple Group 1 sprint victories, knows his way around the track. Interestingly, he's a Gold Coast boy. So Craig Williams, I spoke to him at length yesterday, and he's been more than generous in his information to Michael. They've been hanging out together a bit at the Gold Coast track and walking tracks together and sharing information. And it was ironic that we gave Michael the ride so that he could, Craig could then share all that information with him. So I think we're pretty well placed with Michael on board, and hopefully she can whoosh down the outside. Doesn't seem to matter if there's speed on or not. Probably helps her if there's no speed on in the race and she can be that touch closer and she doesn't have to make up all that ground. But either way, she's got a scintillating finish. And if she's somewhere four or five lengths off them at the top of the straight when they balance up, she'll take a power of beating.
This is a hell of a mare's race. All bar two of the field are rated 100 and above. We probably haven't had a Group 1 race in Australia this year with 17 runners with those sort of ratings. It is a tremendous race. And, you know, there's not a horse there that couldn't win probably without surprising to some degree. And the barrier draws opened it up even so more. You know, traditionally a Stradbroke winner would be a short price favourite here. And we've got Tefano's come up with gate 14. Savitiano, wait for age winner early in the prep, gate 16. You know, it's just really blowing the race apart. Michael Carl, very good rider. Brooklyn Hustle won't get beat because of Michael Carl. He was riding winners before Craig Williams was born, and he's in the latter part of his career. A nicer bloke you wouldn't meet. He's got a beautiful set of hands. He will suit this mare to a T. And as much as he would appreciate and listen to what Craig Williams has got to tell him, Craig Williams has only seen Brooklyn Hustle once as well. So Michael Carl's probably seen her more times at track work at the Gold Coast than Craig Williams has. So I think she's there to run well, and I really wish our co-host Mitho the best of luck. I think she's going to give a great sight, but it's just luck's going to play a massive part in this race. Nudge is probably the genuine hope that's drawn to maybe be a bit more out of trouble and need less luck, possibly. So pressure's going to be good. Dame Giselle's going to tear across from the outside. I'm with you, Rog. Nudge, Brooklyn Hustle, whatever gets the best run. But any one of the entire field could win without surprising. They've all got genuine stakes class form.
Let's move on now to the final race of the program, Rayman. It's the WJ Healy Stakes, and another fairly open race. And James McDonald on the favourite, and we're hoping he gets in.
Yeah, another really open race, as you said, Rog. Baller is the favourite. Early market mover as well, been $4.40 into $4. Away game there on the second line of betting. Usmanov, $7.50. They're the only other horses at single figure odds, but you've got the likes of Exhilarates at $11, King of Hastings, $12, Hightail, $13, Bella Nipotina, $13. So it's another really good race with plenty of depth. Ball has been a bit of a revelation for Tony Gollan since he joined that stable. We've seen Tony Gollan's just got a great record with taking these horses from good horses from New South Wales and Victoria and just turning them into winners. We saw him most notably do it with Crone this year, but he's sort of done the same thing with Baller, who was really good to win the Morden Cup. And a repeat of that performance would make Baller really tough to beat here. I've always had a big opinion of Away Game. Was pretty good in the Hinkler Handicap. Sort of looked at one point, looked like the winner. Then I think just ran out of condition late there first up. So she should take improvement there. She's always tough. She'll probably come across and be on the speed. And we've been talking about King of Hastings for a while. It's first up was definitely not fit. Second up stripped a little bit fitter. Maybe third up it's ready to peak here. So I think it's another one that will run well. But I'm going to stick with Baller here, but I expect that Away Game to run well as well.
I'm tempted to go Away Game, Rayman, but look, she's quickly becoming my new Kementari. So I'm just trying to kick the habit before it develops any further. And for that reason, I'm going with Baller, that dominant win up in grade last start. So yeah, I think Baller can continue on and get the win here and get the favourite home in the last. Mitho.
Yeah, can Usmanov get the trip? That's probably the trick to this race. He's more a 1,100-metre horse, isn't he? I'm really tempted to tip him because he's a good horse. He's a fast horse, and they let this fast horse run fast, Peter, which you would be impressed with. Maybe, look, if it's favouring front runners, I want to have a ticket on Usmanov, and Get Back Horses Run On exhilarates for me. So can I have 10 each way on both of those two, please?
When was the last time you bet 10 each way?
Oh, are we talking thousands?
Yeah. Man of the people, Anthony.
Well, I'm going with away game. I just think a form lines are stronger. Agree wholeheartedly. Tony Gollan's done a tremendous job with Baller. He was considered a non-winner and probably washed up, and he's really found that right vein. I just thought away game would be forward of him in the run, and he, Baller probably hasn't quite run down the opposition of her ilk. But credit to Tony. He had the opportunity to run this horse in the Stradbroke. He's taken the low road, placed him where he thinks he can win, and he could well build on that picket fence. But I'm with the six away game. I think Kieran McAvoy would be better for having the ride on her the other day. I think she'll park up not far behind Usmanov and be too strong.
Introducing our new Chief Entertainment Officer, Mike Iceberg.
Here's how your Ladbroker plays.
Never miss a minute of the action with Ladbroke's Bet Ticker. View a real-time stream of incoming bets, like the stock market, only interesting, all from the palm of your hand. Watch where the money moves and get the inside word on all the big bets across all your favourite events. Or head straight to an individual race or sporting event to get the inside word on who punters are backing. Ladbroken. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Best bets on Moody on the mic. We've got to be quick because Moods has got a roast cooking and he wants to eat it because the man gets up at 2:30 in the morning. Rayman, kick us off.
Henry Caulfield's my best bet this weekend. Rog, race 8, number 11, Corner Pockets. A horse I've sort of followed through the grades for Lindsay Smith. 5 wins from 7 race starts and just keeps improving each time it's been stepped up in quality. So this is its toughest assignment yet. But I think it's a horse with upside against the horse, a group of horses that sort of have found their level. So pretty keen, Corner Pocket at $3. Race 8, number 11,
I'm also going to Caulfield this weekend. As we mentioned earlier, the rail's out 12 metres. It may prove that you don't want to be on speed if the cut is out the ground, but at race 3, there won't be a much cut out the ground. Forever Free will be running on the pace. There's Melkovich down from Sydney's a short price favourite, but Forever Free, she gets 8.5 kilos off him with the claim. I think on speed, rail out, good at the weights, and a bit of soft ground to get her toeing, which she likes. I think she can. He's a really good each way chance, about $11. Race 3, number 4, Forever Free.
That's it. That's a brave tip against Malkovich. Given you talk about on speed, it will be mad speed.
It'll be on speed too, but it's. I'm just looking at the weights. The weights differential more than anything there.
That'll be a fun race to watch with those two cartwheeling out in front. I'm going to go with Brooklyn Hustle as my Rosemont best bet of the day. She's there to win. She's will probably take luck out of it this week by doing what happened last week, and that is settling back, swooping around the field, and hopefully too classy for them over the top. 1,400 should suit. But I'm going to throw in the extra Rosemont Ruffy, and we're going to race 4. At Caulfield, race 4, number 14, Reflect the Stars. She's first up 1,600. She'll get better as she gets into her prep and over a bit more ground, but she does run okay fresh. She's drawn well, Fred Kersley up, and she's 50-1, Rain Man, something like that.
No market yet at this stage.
Whoa, no market. Write your own ticket. Rain Man will get you set. Look, she'll probably be around that 50 or 61. So you can have a shekel or two each way on Reflect the Stars.
Quite a weekend for Moody Racing coming up. My obviously main interest will involve Incentivise going around in the Tats Cup, a horse that will more than likely join our stable for the upcoming Spring Carnival in Brisbane. So God give him strength. I've got Vinland in at Caulfield in a benchmark 84 race. He's going to require more luck than the first Explorers. So a couple of them got through, so you never know. Big odds, they still do get home. I'm going with one at odds, about 25-1. Race 5, horse number 9, Next Step Virama. Shay Eden Stable going well, ridden by Matthew Cartwright. This young lad's really riding up a storm in Victoria at the moment to take on the hot pot. I'm thunderstruck. But I think at 25-1 each way all day, you will be very safe. Best bet from Moody Racing Stable this weekend is probably Always Sure in a benchmark 70 at Geelong at the Ballarat Synthetic on Friday afternoon. But more importantly, punters, have a great weekend. And jocks, let fast horses run fast.
Ladbrokes.